Greetings in the wonderful and majestic name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me again for a very exciting teaching. I'm looking forward to this message today because it has really been a message that as I was meditating, spending time preparing it, just spending time in the Word, you know, it really brought some encouragement, brought some perspective, and I thank God, you know, God's Word, every time one gets into the Word, something has to change. Something has to change. One's thinking is changed. One's perspective is changed. The way you see things changes. And therefore, God is just an amazing, amazing God. And so as we were looking through the book of Peter, we were speaking on the topic, and we are busy with the topic or the title or the theme, From Grace to Glory. In our first teaching, we have dealt with various issues in the church or some things that Peter has highlighted on submission, pride, and then casting your cares unto the Lord. And we were dealing with what it is to be humble, what it is to be humble. In this second part, we're going to deal on being watchful. Very, very important, I believe, very, very important warning, stern warning from the Apostle Peter. And as the body of Christ and as a believer, we have to be watchful at all times. We have to be watchful because we have an enemy. This enemy will not sleep or rest until he destroys the child or the children of the Lord. He's after your faith. He's after your life. And whatever he can do to destroy you, to break you, he is not going to stop. He is relentless. And so Peter now, as an apostle, and has now been about 60 years after Jesus has ascended to heaven, writes this very powerful letter to a certain group of people, and he's encouraging these people, as we have said in the part one, you know, that how he's encouraging the body of believers. And we see that he's speaking to the elders in the early parts of this chapter, and then he deals with a young man, and he speaks about the humility and submitting to one another. And then after that, he goes over to they're now beginning to encourage the brethren again. And so what we're going to focus on today in this particular portion of scripture is being watchful. Somebody needs to say this with me, being watchful. I'm going to teach through this because I believe that as we are enlightened, we will overcome and we will stand strong. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me today to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and verses 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and verses 9. The Bible says, be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. I'm reading from the Amplified Translation just to bring some insight and just to break up the text better for us to understand, as we're going to work on these two verses today in this particular teaching of being watchful. So it says, be sober, be well balanced, and self-disciplined. Let's say that again. When we are sober, we need to be well balanced and have self-discipline. Be alert and cautious at all times. Be alert and cautious at all times. When we watch when we begin to watch programs like National Geographic and we see how animals go on hunting, and we watch those various things, and we see that sometimes when a pack goes to the river and is not alert, the crocodile would come, crocodile would grab him, and that would be the crocodile's meal. Even when it comes to animals in the wild, when we see lions on an attack, we know that the animals need to be alert. And the moment they're not alert, the lion has a good meal. And so we are here warned to be alert and be cautious at all times. Now we know Satan. We're going to look at this and we're going to break this down. Okay, I'm just want to get some things in here because this is such a powerful message. The Bible says that the enemy of yours, that enemy of yours, I love how the Amplified says, that enemy of yours, Satan is everyone's enemy. Satan doesn't want to be your friend. Satan's agenda is to destroy you. Satan, the Bible says, kill, steal, destroy. That is his plan. He wants to do that. He's ready to kill, to steal, and to destroy. The Bible says, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. And like I said, I love National Geographic. And when I watch those programs, I actually like to watch the hunts of the dogs, the hunts of the lions. I love watching the hunting part of National Geographic because there's a lot of interesting things that one picks up. And we know that when a lion is hungry, he's gonna go for the kill. So he's fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, be firm in your faith against this, against his attack, rooted, established, and immovable. Knowing that the same experience of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world, and you do not suffer alone. So when we look at this letter now, I'm just going to open up this and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Father, bless us today. Let the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Father, anoint me and fill my mouth with your words, Father, so that I will speak the living oracles. I will speak your living oracles, Father, and declare the word just as it is. I pray for those who will listen and hear, Father, that there will be transformation and change in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Anoint me today, Father, as I'm totally and completely dependent upon your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And I say, amen. One reason we have cares is because we have an enemy. As the serpent Satan deceives, and as a lion Satan devours. As a serpent he deceives, and as a lion he devours. The word Satan means adversary, and the word devil means the accuser, the slanderer. The recipients of this letter had already experienced the attack of the slanderer. They understand this particular attack. First Peter 4 verses 4. In connection with this, all this, they, the unbelievers, are resentful and surprised that you do not think like them, value their values, and run hand in hand with them into the same access of dissipation and immoral freedom, and they criticize and abuse and ridicule you and make fun of your values. Now, the world is always going to criticize, is always going to ridicule the child of God. So do not find it strange when you are going through attacks and facing trials of many kinds, and people are despising your faith, and people are not walking in agreement with you, or people don't want to connect with you. Do not lower your standard. Do not lower your standard to that of the world. Walk upright. You're going to be slandered. People are going to say things. People are going to speak things. But you keep yourself right with God. Verses 14 says, if you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you're insulted because you belong to Jesus Christ, you are blessed, child of God. You are blessed. So when you are going through trials and going through hardships and persecution, and people, Peter is writing this because people are about to enter into a time of persecution, or they're already going into persecution, and he's encouraging the body of believers. You know, you are blessed when you are being insulted because you are a child of God. So child of God, do not lower your standard. Do not compromise. Do not want to fit in. If you're a young person, do not want to fit in at university or college, or fit in at school, or try to be one of the group. And because of this, now you have to lower your standard and do what people do. And with this, you're actually now selling God out because you are trying to fit into some clique or some group of people. If they're not meant for you, break free, break clean. Do not be unequally yoked. Walk with God and walk in the fear of the Lord. We're going to deal with some things in this particular text, because as we read this right now, Peter is understanding that people are going to face fiery trials, and Peter gave them some practical instructions to help them get victory over this adversary. And these instructions is going to help us to overcome our adversary. Amen. Our adversary. Satan is our adversary, and we need to know how to overcome him. Thank God for the wisdom that is in the scriptures. Therefore, if we just continue to study the word of God, educate ourselves, we will overcome the works of Satan, because Satan has an agenda. We want to overcome that. Amen. And so we don't want to be ignorant to Satan's devices. We want to walk in complete victory to overcome. Most of my readings will be out of the New Living Translation, NIV or NASB, or the Amplified Translation. Time and time again, I would make mention of the translation I'm using, just to and help you, enable you as you go through the Bible study with me, as you go through this teaching with me. I believe you will be changed and transformed. One of the first things that, as children of God, we need to understand this. We need to respect him. We need to respect the devil because he is dangerous. We need to have that type of respect to him. Yes, he's a slow food. Yes, he has been defeated. But this devil, while we are still here on this earth, while we are still here and he has not been bound up and cast into the lake of fire, he is dangerous. And we need to respect that. We need to understand that we need to respect that. And so, one of the things that always amazes me when I stand at building sites or watch, I have an electrician in the church, or when I watch people working with electrical cables, you know, it always gets to me that these cables carry so much voltage and power. And it always amazes me that how these guys that I've been trained to work with this work so calmly with it. And I'm thinking many a times that if I would work with this electric power, I would basically surely shock myself to death. And so one day, just out of curiosity, while standing and watching electrician, I asked him, you know, how do you do this type of work that you are doing? And the electrician smiled at me and he said, you know, well, the first thing you have to do is respect it. Respect it. Respect this, that this electric power carries great voltage and you can die. So you respect it and then you can handle it. So you respect it and then you can handle it. Satan is a very, very dangerous enemy. He's a serpent who can bite us when we least expect it. A serpent that can bite us, and we know that a snake is something that sometimes can hide, curl himself up somewhere. We have this program that we watch Snake in the City, and we find that snakes are on places that you might not even sometimes be aware of. And if you're unaware of them, they can get to you. They can bite you, and it can cause death. I mean, the day we read in the Bible when Paul took the wood, put it into the fire, he didn't know there was a serpent there. And when he put it there, the serpent died upon him, but we thank God he shook it off and he never died. But the Satan has this bite, and Satan can harm you. Then the next thing about the devil is also, he is the destroyer. He is the destroyer. Abaddon or Apollyon means destruction. Both these words mean destruction. Abaddon or Apollyon. And he's also the accuser. Let's look at two stories quickly in the Bible. Zechariah 3 verses 1 to 5. Then the angel showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser Satan was there at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Joshua. I like this verse. And the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, rebuke your accusations. And in New Living Translation, it says, I reject your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. Joshua, clothed with his filthy, was filthy as he stood before the angel. So the angel said to the other standing there, take off his filthy clothes. And turning to Joshua and said, see, I have taken away your sins, and now I am giving you this fine new clothes. Then I said, they should also place a clean turban on his head, so that he may put a clean priestly turban on his head and dress him in new clothes, while the angel of the Lord stood by. I love that. When we came to Christ, we were washed with the blood. We put off all our old sins and we put on Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, Paul goes in the book of Romans and he says, who can lay anything against the charge of God's elect? Now, I love what the angel says. Like a burning stick, he was taken out of the fire. Sins has been removed. Therefore, the Bible says there's also no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Child of God, you are overcomer. Hallelujah. You are an overcomer. Praise be to God. Let's look at another text. Revelations 12 verses 9 to 11. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil, O Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Come on, you have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Glory be to God of their testimony. Jesus died, washed us, cleansed us. So let the accuser go and accuse. If I'm washed and I'm cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ, Satan has no right over me. If I'm forgiven, I'm cleansed. Satan can go before God. We understand that nothing can be laid against the charge of God's elect. Now, as I said, Satan is dangerous and we need to be very, very vigilant and alert. Satan has great power and he has intelligence. He has been around for a very, very long time. And he has a host of demons who assist him in his attack against God's people. But the Bible teaches us that we need to be strong, strong in the Lord. Strong in who? Strong in the Lord. In this book of Ephesians, Paul has been speaking a lot about the strength and the power that God has given us. And so God has given us the ability to overcome. I want you to know that, child of God, today. In you, through the work of the Holy Spirit, God has given you the ability to overcome. Overcome obstacles, overcome the challenges, overcomes. Therefore, Paul says, while I'm in prison, pray for me so that through your prayers and the strength of the Holy Spirit, I will overcome or I will endure through these trials. And therefore, Paul continuously in the book of Ephesians reminds us about this unlimited power that has been made available to us. In Ephesians 6:10, he says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Come on, in the power of his might. So we have an enemy. This enemy, we need to understand continuously, he's a formidable enemy. We must never joke about him, ignore him, or even underestimate his ability. We must be sober. Therefore, Peter says, be sober, be well balanced, and have self-discipline is the words that we were focusing on. Be sober. In an NLT translation, it says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. Be alert. As I said, when that springbok goes there to that waters, does not detect the crocodile, he becomes a meal. That's what happens in the life of people. If we're not sober, if we're not vigilant, we become a prey to the enemy. We need to take self-control. We need to be alert. And we need to know that this enemy is going to fight us. Hallelujah. He's going to fight us. A part of soberness is not just blaming everything on the devil. Sometimes we are blaming the devil for the car, maybe your flat tire, your this and that. But we miss the real things that Satan is doing to our youth, our young people, in our churches. Today we have become compromising. Today we have become accommodating to the works of the kingdom of darkness. We are more focused on the tire burst and this and that and worrying, seeing Satan behind every rock and this. But then we are missing Satan when Satan is really attacking the church and really coming and infiltrating our youth, infiltrating our marriages, infiltrating our lives, because we are not alert to the real danger. We are not alert to the real danger. I heard the Holy Spirit saying this to me while in preparation. The church is not alert to the real danger. The church is really seeing the devil in all the other things, which he can. He can inflict sickness. He can inflict pain. We know that. But many a times we are missing the cunning and craftiness of the enemy. We need to be very, very careful. When you look at a serpent, you look at these green serpents, you find in the, sometimes when people go into these places, and what do they call it, and they're busy with these green fields and things like that, we have these green snakes, and they are poisonous snakes. And this same snake is now on this tree or this branch, and you cannot detect the snake. And because you're not alert, the snake bites you, and you can die in the field. And that is what happens many times. We are not alert. We are not vigilant. We are not sober of mind. And Satan now comes and puts little things into the church, little things into our lives. And we are unaware that these things are taking us away from God. And these things are drawing us away from the things of God and the holiness and the righteousness of God. And we find ourselves now in playing with the devil and not aware of what he does. So as we have respect for the devil, we must have respect for the devil's wiles. The Bible says in the King James Version that we need to be alert and aware of the wiles of the enemy. What does these wiles mean? Let's just break down this word. The devil is a schemer. That is what wiles means. schemer. The devil schemes. The next thing that the devil has, he has methods. He has methods. He has been around for some time. He has methods. He knows how to trip people up. He knows how to plant certain things. He knows how to get you to do certain things. Sometimes you do it and you look back and you said, but I didn't even plan on doing this. I am so innocent. And he gets us doing his craftiness, his craft. He's crafty in what he does. He's crafty. He has trickery. You know, sometimes we had friends when we grew up, they just had tricks. You have people that have tricks. They can sometimes get you to do something that you didn't plan on doing. And when you look back after that day, you know, sometimes you were planning to save some money or do something as we grow up as youth. And then you find a friend gets you to do something against your will. And you look back and you think, my God, have I just done this thing? And that is what Satan does, because he is crafty. We see it with Samson. He was, you know, he used Delilah so that Samson could then lose everything through a woman. And we see that the trickery of Delilah brought Samson in, knew that Samson had this problem with women. Satan knew that. And he brought this into a place where Samson now yielded to Delilah. What happened? Lost his hair, lost his eyes, and he died. And so that's what Satan does. He's crafty. And therefore, I'm saying, when we say respect the devil, we are not saying, listen, we're going to be fearful and we're going to... No, we are overcomers. The Bible says, I've given you power to trample over serpents, over scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall harm you. It shall not harm you. Like I said, we can go to a snake sanctuary. Snakes are behind the glasses. They cannot harm us. We can look at their beauty. We can look at them. But when we get into that glass, behind that glass, that snake now, we are in his territory. We are now in his territory. And so that snake now is a threat to us. And so we need to be careful that we do not allow ourselves to get into the territories of the enemy. Because the enemy is cunning and crafty. And therefore, he uses in today's world, he uses the media. He uses social media. He uses music. He uses different types of things to lure people into his world. And when he gets you into his world, he takes you out. He destroys you. He destroys your faith. Gets you into wrong relationships. He gets you into wrong groups and amongst wrong people. And you don't see this. Sometimes we are drawn aside by people's lives and people's how they, you know, sometimes people are drawn aside by beauty, or they're drawn aside by somebody's they don't see the evil behind somebody, because maybe somebody just knows how to camouflage themselves and how to, you know, how to be. And people miss this sometimes. And Satan, in his trickery and his craft, he knows how to just lure people. And that's what he done to Eve. And we will see how he got Eve to do something that she was not supposed to do. How he made her look at something. And suddenly she saw that it was good. And the Bible says she saw it was good. And when she saw it was good, now she then was tempted. And she came and she yielded to the temptation. And she lost her way. And so we're going to just break that down. I just want to just... We need to be alert. We need to be alert. Therefore, the Bible says, Bible teaches us, it says, be alert, be alert and be watchful. Be sober and be vigilant. So as we know, he's a dangerous person. The next thing that we need to do, we need to recognize him. We need to know the devil. Therefore, the Bible brings so many, we understand the devil and his trickery through the scriptures. And therefore, we need to study the Word of God. And therefore, we thank God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because also discerning, knowing what is evil, what is good. Also know that through this, we can now be able to distinguish. But you know, the enemy in the last days in the church, he has become so crafty and so crafty and so full of tricks that he has made people, he has desensitized us to the kingdom of darkness. And therefore, today we have the church compromising, the church doing things or bringing in things from the world and bringing it into the church. And today we think that we need to, in some churches, we are using the terminology or the wording, we need to win them at all costs. And so we do certain things to get people saved. And we're actually now bringing them into something that is not even God. And now we want to sustain them through the devil. And how do we do that? We need to be careful. And therefore, as the church, I believe God is warning us. He says, recognize the enemy. recognize the enemy. We need to be alert. We need to be vigilant. As I said, when you watch National Geographic and you see those bucks in the field, or you see those animals out there, and when they just detect a lion, they run away, or they escape so that a lion cannot get a hold of them. But if they are unaware, as I said, they become a meal. Today, many a times when we look around us, many believers has gone to sleep. Many believers has become ill-disciplined. Many believers has an imbalance in their lives. And therefore, now they cannot detect the works of Satan. They're not vigilant. And what they become? They become prey to the enemy. All they wanted to do was compromise. All they wanted to do was just get into something. All they just thought was going innocently. As I heard a story of a young man going to a spiritist party. And what happened to him after that spiritist party? His mom found him laying on the porch. And he was laying on the porch there. The mom found him naked. And for a few months or years, the boy was paralyzed. The boy was in another state until God had to send a man of God in and cast that spirit out, and that boy became normal. Sometimes we find ourselves and we don't recognize the devil. We sometimes go to palm readers. We read our horoscopes. We get into things that we should not be doing. We go into people reading cards to us. We go into people reading into teacups. We find people doing some things, getting us into mutis and gomas. We find witchcraft, and we think that this is innocent, not knowing that when we leave, or when we get involved in these things can bring us into bondage. These things can bring us into captivity. And sometimes we call it innocent fun. We don't understand that we get our children captivated. Or how can we say we take our children to these things and get our children, and even things that we allow as parents in the house, we don't know that sometimes we are giving our children access. And through this access, our children come into bondage, they come into rebellion, and all that you were thinking is that you're just a nice parent. Your children, you wanted to be a nice mother or a nice father, and what you didn't know is that you were setting up your children to become a prey to the enemy. And even in your own life, you find yourself being a prey to the enemy. There are things that we have gotten involved in life, and these things has actually brought us into bondage. We have brought things to altars and we thought it was innocent, and we went into places and thought it was innocent, and because of this we didn't understand that there was a line which Satan now had, or how can I say, an attachment or an open door Satan has access in our lives, because we're not vigilant, we're not aware, because like I said, we have gone to sleep. We are in a deep sleep as the body of Christ, and many a times we've just allowed Satan to come and even sit in the front row seat of the church and think that things is just normal. I mean, look at Paul, this is something that amazes me. Paul is in a city, and there's a woman that's keep on shouting out, "These are the men of God. These are the men of God. These are the men of God." Now, to many of us, that would be like somebody's celebrating my ministry. Somebody's complimenting me. Somebody's very excited about what God is doing in my life. And this would then bring us to a place where we would think, you know, this is the praises of man. And some of us like the praises of man. But look at Paul. Paul, in this whole situation, looks at this woman and he realizes that this is not the Spirit of God. And he now prays for this woman, and this woman gets delivered from a serpent spine spirit, or the spirit of the python, and she's delivered now, and she can no longer operate in the dimension she was operating on, the witchcraft, and in the dimension where she must lead people through this wickedness. That now Paul now ends up in prison with Silas, and God delivers them miraculously. But what I'm trying to say is, Paul could recognize the enemy. He recognized the enemy. We are the children of God in the day and the age we are living. We need to recognize the enemy. Therefore, we need to be alert and aware. Come on, children of God. We need to understand that Satan is a great pretender. Hallelujah. He is a subtle foe. And therefore, we must be on guard. The word vigilant means we must always be on guard. You cannot relax. You cannot relax. It's like when you're driving, you cannot basically lose focus. You need to be continuously focused, because you're not only driving for yourself, but you're driving for the other vehicles too. Somebody might not be paying attention, and you can just stop your vehicle in time and avoid an accident. But if you're also not focused and you're not doing certain things, you can get yourself into trouble. So we need to be on guard continuously. We need to understand that Satan, he uses counterfeit things. We know that God does the original and Satan uses counterfeit. Now, if you've never studied money, if you never studied the original from the counterfeit or anything, gold, money, whatever, and you don't know the original, you will not be able to detect the counterfeit. And therefore, we need to get into God to such a place where we get into the original so that we are able to detect the counterfeit. And therefore, today, if we're not spirit-filled believers, we do not access or we do not walk in that place where we're walking in the original presence of God and now have that place where we're walking in and we're walking before God and now be able to detect the counterfeit. Therefore, we cannot sometimes detect the counterfeit prophets because we have not been given or not been exposed to the original. And so we need to be very careful. Children of God, listen to me. Recognize the devil. Let's look at John 8 verses 44. The Bible says, "For you are children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning and he has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." That is who he is. He's the father of lies. Listen to 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. "These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I'm not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that these servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get their punishment and their wicked deeds they deserve." You know, something that amazed me some time ago, I heard this amazing testimony. It was a preacher that shared this testimony, an Indian preacher that God saved in a wonderful way, and God is using him mightily. This preacher shared this. He said one day as he was praying in his bedroom, suddenly the vision came. A vision came. And in his vision, it was Christ. Christ. In the vision, it was Christ. And as this man was praying, suddenly he didn't feel too good about this encounter, this image appearing to him. And he did something. And in that moment when he did something, because the discernment in him said that this is not the Christ. And when he suddenly looked at this thing and started asking, I think he asked a question or something. And when he asked a specific question, this thing disappeared. So this could now, if he wasn't discerning, what would have happened to him? He would now have been misled by a spirit. He would be misled by a spirit, and maybe that thing had an instruction for him to do. And we know that the Bible says that even if angels appear to you with another gospel, we should not follow that. So if he maybe was now not vigilant and alert, he would have given himself to this because he would have thought that he had a type of Damascus experience and would have exposed himself to the works of the enemy. And so we know that Satan comes forth as an angel of light. He disguises himself as a servant of righteousness. The Bible says that these people, the end will get them into destruction, and the deeds that they deserve, they will find the payment for that, according to 2 Corinthians. Amen. So according to the parable also of the tares and the wheat, wherever God plants through Christians, Satan seeks to plant counterfeits. He would deceive us were it not for the word of God and the Spirit of the Lord. If we do not have the word of God and the Spirit of God, Satan would have easily defeated us as the children of God. Let's look at what 1 John chapter 2, 18 to 27. Somebody turn with me there. "Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come." So listen how John exposes now the counterfeit from the real. "These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. But you are not like that. For the Holy One has given you His Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So I'm writing to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus Christ..." Now listen, man, the scriptures exposes the Antichrist. He exposes the Antichrist spirit. "Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ, anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an Antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son does not have the Father either, but doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning." Because we know in 1 John they were busy, the people were rising up and challenging the incarnation of Christ. And now John had to set the record straight. And today in our generation, we have various cults and different groups that's challenging the very same doctrines that John and them were facing, the very same Gnostics, the very same groups of people that they were facing and encountering in their day. So he says, but anyone who acknowledges the Son as the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy eternal life. He has promised us, I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. Now, this is John the Apostle writing, the beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, writing this powerful encouragement to us because he says that these people are coming to lead us astray. If we're not vigilant, if we're not alert, people with doctrines of devils and seducing spirits will lead us astray. But listen to what he says. But you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. You have the Holy Spirit. He scans. And when something is usually preached to you, your spirit will give you that witness. This thing, it's God, it's not God. That's why sometimes when I sit in services and sometimes because of some of the things that I know, I would sit there and some people would say something and I would pull my face and, okay, maybe I don't have the level of education in that, so I need to go and study it. Or sometimes I just know that this is completely wrong because of the witness of the Spirit. And therefore it says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you so that you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches you is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Because the better we know God's word, the keener our spiritual senses becomes. And therefore we will now be able to detect Satan at work. As I said, it's like knowing counterfeit bills. Knowing the original, you'll be easily able to detect the counterfeit. We must be able to try the spirits and know the true from the false. Listen to John again. 1 John 4:1-6. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the spirit they have comes from God. So he gives us, God wants us to test the spirits. We must not just be gullible and accept everything. For there are many false prophets in the world, and this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claims to be a prophet, acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in real body, that person has the Spirit of God. And if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the Spirit of the Antichrist, Prophet Muhammad. I'm going to say that. Prophet Muhammad claiming to be a prophet, but he does not acknowledge Jesus Christ in the right way. Therefore, he is not of God and he is the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint and the world listens to them. But we belong to God and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. When we look at the word of God, we see the word of God describes Satan in different ways. There are 21 different names or how we can identify Satan in the word of God. But I'm not going to go to 21. I'm just going to look at a few. I just took 7 of them today just to explain some of the ways that Satan comes or some of the forms that Satan comes in. Number one, Satan comes as a serpent. A serpent. And what does he do? He comes to beguile our senses, pervert our judgment, and enchant our imagination. And we find all this visible in the temptation of Eve. Amen. Came to beguile, pervert her judgment and enchant her imagination. You will just be like God. And we see that when the serpent comes, when it comes in the form of a serpent into our lives, these are usually the areas you will attack us as children of God. Therefore, we need to be alert and we need to be vigilant. As an angel of light, the Bible then says, you know, he comes forth as an angel of light. Therefore, many cults were birthed through what people believed were visions from angels in caves and in places. And they were misled by these visions because Satan comes forth as an angel of light. And what does he do? He comes to deceive us with false views of spiritual things, refinements in religion, a presumption on the providence and the grace of God. And we find this in the teachings of people. When people come forth as angel of lights and prophets and false apostles, they come and they come to divert and distort our judgment and the teachings of the Bible. And many of us become a prey, and we become into, and we fall into the traps of the wicked one, and we find ourselves then walking in a way that God has not ordained. It then comes as Peter now describes him as a roaring lion. What does he do? He comes to bear us down, comes to destroy us by violent opposition, persecution, and death. And this is what these people were facing. They were about to face fiery trials of life. And here Peter was now encouraging them. Listen, he's going to come to devour, but you don't have to be afraid. God is with you. Amen. In Psalms 91, the Bible teaches he comes as a fowler, one who sets traps. Many of us has fallen sometime in our lives prey to the traps of the enemy. We need to be alert. Many of us, when we were younger, we used to catch birds, and with a trap, we used to put his favorite bait of the bird there, and when the bird comes there, we would then trap the bird, and we would now have caught the bird. And that is what Satan would do. He would come as a fowler and then set a trap. And Satan will not use what you don't like. Remember that. When he's going to come, he's going to set a bait that you like. It could be a relationship, it could be money, it could be something your heart is fond of. And through this, Satan can deceive you and mislead you. The Bible says he comes as a thief. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. John 10:12 says he comes as a wolf. When you watch wolves, how they operate in packs, but you also see how wolves has this, how they have this tenacity, and how they keep just going for their prey until they catch it. And wolves are ravenous, amen. They are ravenous. And then the Bible describes him as the red dragon in Revelation 12, verses 3 to 12. Red dragon. How do we overcome Satan? Paul gives us, or Peter gives us here. He says, stand firm against him. The word there also in another translation says, resist him, resist him. And how do we resist him? This means that we need to take our stand on the word of God and refuse to be moved. This is the greatest temptation in the 21st century church, is to stand upon the word of the Lord, to stand firm in your faith, to stand firm in what you believe. Ephesians 6:10-13 instructs us to stand and to withstand the works of the enemy, because unless we stand, we are not able to withstand. Our weapons that we have are weapons of prayer and the word of the Lord. And we need to understand that we need to put on the full armor of God daily so that we can resist the enemy. We need to resist him in our faith. We need to stand in the faith of God. We need to stand upon the word of God. Just as David stood against Goliath when he said, I trust in the name of Jehovah. So we need to stand against Satan in the victorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come on, Peter commands Christians to have the mind that is resolute to resist Satan by being firm in their faith. Such resistance causes the devil to flee when we stand in the word and upon the word of the Lord. We must, according to James 4 verses 7, the Bible says, so submit to the authority of God. Resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. We must submit to God. The word submit here means it's a military term that was used to get you into proper rank. When a buck private acts like the general, there's going to be trouble. Unconditional surrender is the way to complete victory. If there's any area of our lives which we have kept back from God, there will always be battles in that area. This explains why uncommitted Christians cannot live with themselves or with other people. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 verses 27, do not give the devil a place. Do not give him a foothold. Satan needs a foothold into our lives. And if he's going to fight against God and we give him that foothold, then we are in trouble. After King David committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed his husband, he hid his sins for almost a year. There was war between him and God. And David declared, when we read Psalms 32 and 51, discover the high price David paid to be at war with God. When he finally comes to submit to God, David experienced peace and joy like never before. This too was recorded in the book of Psalms. We see this. Submission is an act of the will, where we declare, not my will, but thy will be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When we read the book of 1 Timothy 4, we look how Paul encourages Timothy. He says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last days, some will turn away from the true faith And we need to resist the enemy in faith. And here we find that in these last days, people are turning away from the true faith because people lies and fables. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that comes from demons. And we find this in this day and this hour. People likes the doctrines of devils. Hallelujah. And we need to be alert because we need to stand upon sound biblical doctrine. We need to be discerning in the truth from error and to be willing to defend the truth and expose the error. Jude calls us, hallelujah, and he says in Jude 3, the Bible says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once and for all handed down to the saints. You're not a famous guy on Facebook, on social media. You might not have all the likes like many other people that has thousands of likes because they compromise the gospel and because they're looking for the applause of man. But stand, woman and man of God, stand for truth, stand for righteousness. Glory be to God. We have a responsibility as shepherds and as leaders of the flock of God. And therefore, Paul Peter, in his wisdom, writes through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, writes the way of the shepherds and what he should do in the early parts of chapter 5. And then he says to the young man, submit to your leaders, because if you don't submit to your leaders, you will never be able to receive from your leaders. Listen to Ephesians 4:11-14. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to building up of the body of Christ, until we attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man and by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. We must not be caught. We must not run to and fro. We must become rooted and grounded. We understand that Satan is a liar, deceiver, and we need to be alert and aware so that we stand against the works of Satan. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 to 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculation and every lofty thing that exalts and raises itself against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive and we are bringing it to the obedience of Christ. When we look at the word speculations in this particular portion of scripture, it is satanic ideologies, ideas and theories, religious philosophies and systems of thought raised up against the knowledge of God. And that is, they are anti-biblical viewpoints that people are taken captive, hallelujah, captive, and I am imprisoned to these thoughts as like a great, great fortress. Satan, Christians or believers, we need to understand we cannot smash those ideas with human cleverness or smartness, but we can only overcome them by true, genuine, biblical truth. Therefore, man and woman of God, keep teaching the word. Keep teaching the word. Years ago when I came to Cape Town, a lady gave me this word. She said to me, when you go to Cape Town, do not try to be fancy or smart or whatever. Teach the word. See yourself with a hammer and a chisel and keep chiseling and hammering away, and God will bring the change. And I'm telling you, I've seen the change in so many people's lives as we have just stuck to the word of God and taught the word of God. So children, believers, be alert, be aware, because we need to understand. Peter now encourages them and he ends with this and he says, you know, stand strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers around the world are going through the same trials and struggles you are going for. But Peter encourages us in the book of Peter. He says, you know, our testing, our trials is going to accomplish the work of Christ in our lives. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 6 to 7. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead of you. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purified gold. And though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. 1 Peter 4:19. So if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to God who created you, for he will never fail you. Glory be to God. 2 Corinthians 1 verses 6 to 7. Even when we are weighed down and troubled, it is for your comfort and your salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can be patient and endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you also share in the comfort that God gives unto us. So when we go through these many trials, let us be reminded, somebody else is going through the trial that you're right now going through or has been through this. Somebody has already been through a business crisis, a marital crisis, children that's on drugs, family members that died. Maybe you are going through something in the workplace. Somebody has already been through that. And I'm telling you, if you sometimes just sit in testimony services, you will be so encouraged to know that God is able. God is able to strengthen you. God is able to overcome. Therefore, I love sitting with men and women of God that has run ahead of me. There was a man of God I used to sit with so for hours. I used to go and visit him and sit with him for hours. And all I just wanted to do was, I just used to say to him, tell me your story. And every time he would tell me his story and tell me about the great challenges and the great victories that he used to have. And this used to motivate me as a young minister, just gone into full-time ministry. And I would hear his testimony. And this would encourage me. And this would cause me to endure, to press. And therefore, I like to read the God's generals. And I like to read about missionaries. And I like to read about people that trusted God. Because in their testimony, I am comforted. And with that comfort now, I have faith again in God to continue and keep trusting. And so, brothers and sisters, somebody's going through what you are going through. Your trial is not unique. Your trial is not the only person, but God is able to carry you. As I close with this today, just a word of encouragement and caution. We should never discuss things with Satan or with his associates. Eve made this mistake, and we know the consequences when she gave the enemy the time of day. Don't give your mind to the devil. Don't give your time to the devil. You are more than a conqueror, child of God. You are more than an overcomer. We should also never try to fight Satan in our own way. Resist him the way Jesus did with the word of God. When Jesus said, it is written, don't try to fight him with smartness and cleverness and with worldly wisdom. Overcoming by the word. Hide the word of God in your heart so that you do not sin against God. Come on, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be released in your life. I pray for the love of the word to be released in your life. Never get the idea that you're the only one going through battles, because brethren all over the world are facing trials of the same kind. We can just sit and listen to each other's stories. We will realize people are going through what we are going through and have been through what we have been through. And the same God that has given them the victory is the same God who will give you the victory. Therefore, the Bible says these things were written for our encouragement, so that when we read the stories of David and Joseph and Joshua, we can now see the same God that has brought them through is the same God that has never changed. Be comforted with the stories of the Word of God. We must pray for one another and encourage each other day by day. And we must remember that our personal victories will help others just as their victories will help us. Now look at Peter, and we conclude, the very apostle that writes this particular book. Listen to this. Peter, if Peter obeyed the instructions the night Jesus was arrested, he would not have gone to sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane, or he would not have attacked Marcus or denied the Lord. But he did not take the Lord's warning seriously. In fact, Peter even argued with the Lord. He did not recognize that Satan, when the adversary inflated his ego with pride and said, though everybody leaves you, I will not leave you. He told him he did not have to watch and pray, and then incited him to use. And that is what the enemy does to us. Sometimes we think prayer is not important. The studying of the word is not important. Our time in the presence of God is not important. And Satan lures us away from God, and then he strikes. And that is what we find with a lion or even the dogs, when they lure that sickly one or that one buck or bull. You know, when we find a herd, it's difficult. But when you find a single animal, it's more easier to attack that. And we find that when they go for buffalo, they need to single out their buffalo and then attack it. But if they go as a herd, lions would die. So lions know we need to separate. And so the enemy comes and he separates you from godly counsel. He separates you from godly friends. He separates you from godly company, and he allows you now to play in the snake pit with the enemy, and you now become a prey for him, and he destroys destroys your life. Be alert and be vigilant. Had Peter listened to and resisted the enemy, who would have escaped all of these failures. But we have him as an example, and so therefore we need to be alert. Therefore Paul would write and he says, do not be unequally yoked. Do not play with the devil. Do not think that your life will be different. Many people today would share testimonies of unequally yoked in business, in relationships, in lives, and they found themselves in a place where the enemy came and ravished them. But today God's grace is sufficient. Both Peter and James gave the same formula to success when they used the word submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Before we can stand before Satan, we must bow before God. Peter resisted the Lord and ended up submitting to Satan. Child of God, this is a warning. Be watchful. Be alert. Resist the enemy. Be strong in faith and be encouraged that other people are going through what you are going through. I want to pray for you today. I'm going to pray just a few prayers today, just to pray that many people will be set free and that God will bring deliverance, healing, and restoration in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, many a times, many believers has not been alert. They were not watchful. They got themselves into the trickery and the schemes of the enemy. Father, they got themselves attached and into covenants, and ungodly covenants unknowingly. They were innocent and some went into it knowingly and they got possessed or they got into bondage. So Father, to break through the truth of the word of God, I thank you that strongholds has now been demolished. And Father, every person that is bound by a spirit that they got themselves connected to or into, Father, that has kept them bound or taken them captive, oh God, I loosen them in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind every demonic spirit of sickness, disease, witchcraft, or the occult, Father. I loosen that people right now under the bondages of Satan in Jesus' name. I command that the spirit leaves right now, people, oh God. People that has, Father God, sicknesses that has come in because of spirits, because of open doors, because of things, oh God. I loosen them right now from that in the name of Jesus. Things that has entered into people, spirits and demonic spirits that has access to the lives of individuals because they have allowed, have given him access because they were not vigilant or sober. I pray right now, oh God, that under the anointing and the unction and the truth of the word that has gone forth, Father, may they be delivered, may they be set free in the name of Jesus. I pray that people that are living under the deception and of the kingdom of darkness today, oh God, that the light and the truth of God's word will shine into their hearts and change the way they live and think, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you today. We have used the weapons of the word, and I'm using the weapon of prayer today, Father, to set the captives free. I thank you that the anointing of the Holy Spirit rests upon me today, oh God. I pray that every prison door be open, every captive be set free. I thank you that chains and shackles are broken in the name of Jesus. I thank you that the yoke is being destroyed by the anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. I want you to say this prayer with me today. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I surrender my life unto you. I give myself to you. Today, I want to yield to you. I want to yield to your presence. I want to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to yield unto you, Father. I repent of the sin of prayerlessness. I repent of the sin of not studying the word of God and getting the word into my heart. And today I ask that you wash me and cleanse me from all sin and all unrighteousness in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If you have said that today in faith, walk free, stay free, be vigilant and be sober in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.